going to go ahead and continue with our post-race media availability. We've now been joined by our race-winning team owner, Justin Marks, who's answering lots of congratulatory text messages. You are fine. No worries at all.
133 texts in 4 minutes.
Justin, first of all, congratulations. I know it's always a nice feeling when you can get wins out of the way early in the season. Obviously for the 99 team, who went winless last year, this means a lot to them. Talk a little bit about your perspective of just keeping that team focused and knowing that, you know, they could get a win once this season started.
Yeah, I mean, Daniel was employee number 4 at Trackhouse, and we're huge fans of him and believers in his talent and ability, and believe that he can do these things. He can win these races. So we made a couple changes during the off season, and to be able to punch our ticket to the playoffs, week 2. Is a great feeling. I'm really, really happy for Freeway Insurance. I want to tell everybody, I'm not going to go totally commercial here, but the thing is Freeway Insurance started as a PSA for Daniel, and then they did one race, and then they did 2 or 3 races, and then this year they took a huge position with our team, and now they're, in victory lane. Is an amazing story for how companies, can fall in love with this sport and invest in this sport. So that's an amazing thing. But for Daniel personally, he's a great friend of mine, and I'm a huge, huge believer in his talent and his ability, and he's a big part of this Trackhouse family. And we it's our job as a company to put the tools and resources and support around him so he can go out and do the things that he did tonight. So being in victory lane with him is really, really special. This was, I don't know if you could want anything more out of a NASCAR race than we saw tonight. I mean, I was a complete race fan tonight. And I was just hanging on to every lap, and then you have the 3-wide finish. And I mean, just from an entertainment value, it was an incredible race. And then for Trackhouse and Daniel and Freeway to be the ones that came out on top, it's a little bit hard to find the words, but I'm just really, really proud of him and Matt and everybody on this 99 team that worked so hard.
Awesome. Well, congratulations again. We'll go now to questions from the media. We'll get as many questions in as we can. I'm going to start with Jordan here in the middle.
Jordan Bianchi, The Athletic. Fair or not, the perception was that Daniel Suarez was on the hot seat, because you look at the situation at Trackhouse with all the drivers and the number of seats. Was that a fair perception, and was Daniel in a year, even though he has a contract, having to perform this year to ensure that he was going to be continuing with the team?
I would say that there are a lot of things that happen in these businesses that nobody in this room knows about. And that means that we are all working on business development and growth and opportunities in the future. So you could look at what we have right now, and you can look at the drivers that we've signed, but you don't know what we're working on behind the scenes. So, yes, this is a contract year for Daniel. Does that mean that this is Daniel's audition? No. It means that basically we are, we're working on growing this company and making Trackhouse, one of the powerhouse, perennial championship contending companies in this sport. On the hot seat, I mean, he just didn't have the year that he wanted last year. But but we know that he can get it done, and he's a guy that can get it done. So I don't envision necessarily a situation where Daniel is not a driver for Trackhouse Racing. There's a lot of things going on behind the scenes, and this is why we made a change at crew chief. This is why we made a change with some of the people around him and the processes is to put him in a position where he can win, because Trackhouse is a winning company. And so, I would say that, it's validation for the work that we've done this off season to be able to put him in a position where he can showcase his talent. We have a lot of exciting and important things happening for the future of this company. And I guess that's what I'll say about that. It's just nice to be in the playoffs in week 2.
You kind of touched on it a little bit, but I would imagine that this has to be a relief in some way, kind of a validation too of like, hey, this is the guy we believe in. And now it's just not believing, it's actual tangible results to point to as you try to go forward.
Yeah. I mean, he's been fast in so many races. He's had bad luck. The team has made mistakes. I mean, there's been some issues the last couple of years that have prevented us from being in a position to be in victory lane with him. You know, you look tonight at, I mean, you know, they come across the start-finish line three wide, and all three cars finish within 8 inches or whatever. So it's not like, you know, he's 10 seconds ahead of the field or whatever, but, like, you have to put yourself in that position, and he put himself in that position, made the right move at the right time to win the race. You know, Daniel's my guy. I mean, I love Daniel, and he's got incredible talent, and he's a guy that just needs good people around him and a good process around him, and he can be very successful. So.
All right, we're going to continue with questions. Bob, I believe you had a question.
Bob Pockers, Fox Sports. What do you feel like this does for Daniel as a driver? This isn't a road course win. It's an oval win. It puts him in the playoffs. What do you think it does for him, his confidence, and just what it could mean for the future?
Well, yeah, I mean, when I saw him in victory lane, the first thing he said to me is that this is just the beginning. We're just getting started. We've got a lot of wins ahead of us. And I think that that's indicative of his personality. I mean, Daniel goes to the racetrack and feels like he can win every race. He's been so fast on the road courses that maybe he's sort of been put in this kind of silo where people think that he's kind of like a road course guy or road course specialist, but he's very good at the super speedways. He's very fast and good at the 1.5s. You know, his short track progression has been really, really good. So, I mean, I think, you know, you come to a race that's this tough. I mean, this is a really, really tough race tonight. We had 12 or 13 leaders, you know, 25 plus lead changes. I mean, he had to make really good moves at the right point to be able to lead and put yourself in position in a race like this. So at this specific type of race for him to win, I think it really is great for his confidence because he's closed the deal, right? I mean, it's like he's had, you know, great races at Dover and great races at Pocono and some of these places that you know, but then he wins at Sonoma and he almost wins at Indy last year and he was super fast at COTA and all this stuff. But, you know, come to a place like this that's you know, pretty unique and very oval and drafting centric, obviously, and to close the deal, I don't think it's confidence boosting. I think it's more just, you know, he's like, I know I can do this, so it's nice to close the deal.
All right, we're going to continue with questions. I believe Matt, you had a question. We'll go to Lee.
Matt Weaver, SportsNot. I know you're kind of in the moment, and you're probably certainly biased towards being the winner here, but can a moment like this, a finish like this, big picture, be a catalyst for the sport in some way if packaged and presented the right way?
You're asking me that as a... Is this a direction for the sport, this type of racing?
No, just having the sort of fanfare and enthusiasm that people have, can this be broadcast to the masses
as
a way to, like, grow the sport?
I think that from an entertainment value standpoint, I don't know what more you could want from a race like tonight. I mean, it was incredible. My heart rate was, you know, 150 all just watching, you know, all race long. I talked to my wife about this. I was like, you know, the calmest people here are the guys driving the cars because we're all just watching this, just holding our breath. I mean, this is one of the most compelling races I think that you could want, you know, for a sport. I mean, it was an incredible thing to watch. So, you know, I don't know. I mean, I think that if you're asking me about, you know, is this a product that we can, you know, promote to the world? Is that what you're saying? Like,
well, just any time that you have, like, a really good finish, like 1979 Daytona, yeah, right? Like it becomes kind of a catalyst to create kind of more enthusiasm. This is not 79 Daytona, but on a scale.
Yeah, for sure. We have to promote events like this as aggressively as we can because you can't want anything more than what we had tonight. I mean, that was an incredible finish, an incredible race start to finish, which is why I'm a huge advocate of this sport. It's why, you know, we're finding ways to you know, tap into the MotoGP program to promote, you know, NASCAR to the world because this is some of the best racing in the world. And, you know, I just, like, I'm a race fan first and foremost, and I think this was everything you could ever want, you know, from a race.
And then one more for me. The sheer number of, like, rival competitors and teammates that all came and visited Daniel and congratulated him, What is it about Daniel's personality that makes him so beloved and kind of rooted for in the sport?
Well, I mean, he's just a great human being, Matt. I mean, he's someone that's got a great story. He's a guy, you know, like he moved to America, didn't speak English, moved to Buffalo, New York, and watched cartoons to learn English. And the story of moving from Monterey, Mexico, to America to try to be a NASCAR driver, like, you know, nobody does that, and everybody knows what his story is, and he's a great person, and he's always smiling, and he's happy, and he's genuinely passionate about being here, and so I think everybody kind of roots for him. If you go back and watch the cool down lap at Sonoma in 2022 when he won that race, you see every single driver, you know, stops and drops their window net and you know, gives him a thumbs up and all that. I mean, he's a favorite because people just know how bad he wants it and how hard he works and how appreciative he is of being here. And so, you know, I think any time Daniel Suarez wins a NASCAR race, it's a popular win. Even, you know, the Mexico race at in L.A. a few weeks ago, I mean, everybody's just excited about it because they just know how hard he's worked and the sacrifices that he's made to get here. And that resonates with everybody.
Thank you. All right, we're going to continue with questions. We'll get a mic to Lee and then Cameron. Did you have a question? You're good. Okay. We'll go Lee and then Jacob. Go ahead, Lee.
Lee Spencer, catchments.com. I talked to Ross in Victory Lane. I don't think he could have been happier if he had won himself. And he said having Daniel run the way he is and performing and just his work ethic propels Ross to be better. You feel like they just continue to push each other to elevate Trackhouse as a whole.
This is one of the things that I love about what we do more than anything else is that we have a team where whenever one of our guys wins, the other guy comes to Victory Lane genuinely excited for him. And that's the culture that we're building at Trackhouse, is that we're truly a team and we support each other and we're happy for each other. When Daniel won at Sonoma, Ross, you know, got out of his car, changed clothes, 30 minutes later showed up in Victory Lane to take a picture with Ross. And when Ross won at Phoenix last year, Daniel, you know, didn't have a great race, got out of his car, went to the front straightaway and ate watermelon with Ross. And that's the kind of thing that we're trying to do at Trackhouse, because I think it makes us strong as a team. We're in an era of the sport where I've said numerous times, this is about the people and the culture and you know, really trying to build a tight-knit team, because, you know, we don't have the funding and we don't necessarily have all the engineering resources that some of the big teams do. So we really have to band together and work hard together. And so it makes me really happy to see the other guy show up in Victory Lane. And Ross showed up, took pictures at the trophy with Daniel and was excited about it. That's what brings me so much joy. And that's what brings me so much joy, because I'm trying to build a team here where everybody's pulling for everybody else. And we're doing that. So thank you for that question, because those are the moments that are really personally important for me.
All right, we're going to continue with questions. We'll go to Jacob. Go ahead, Jacob.
Jacob Seelman, Race Face Digital. Justin, two for you over on your left here.
Hi.
So first, kind of following up on what Bob asked earlier, I know you said, you know, it's not a case of Daniel being on the hot seat, but you got to see a rough year for him, obviously a lot deeper than any of us did. Did you see a point from him at all last year where you felt like maybe his confidence was shaken a little bit, or was this just a case of him really weathering the storm and knowing that he could still do this?
Yeah, I mean, there were certainly tough moments and tough conversations. Yeah, for sure. I mean, and that's kind of how the sausage is made. It's sort of like, you know, Monday through Wednesday when we're in the shop and nobody sees that stuff and we're in meetings together and, you know, it's like, what do we need? What do we need to, like, you know, how can we help you, Daniel, give you what you need, you know, to experience success on the racetrack? So yeah, there were, I'm not going to sit here and say, you know, he said, I got this the whole time through 2023. I mean, I think it was, you know, him coming to us and us coming to him going like, you know, everything is the same. You know, the resources, the support, the funding, everything is the same between the 1 and the 99. And when you see the 1, you know, doing what Ross is doing and the 99, you know, not making the playoffs and being behind, that's, you know, that's all of us coming together and going to Daniel and saying, like, what do you need? Like, how can we really work together to support you in, you know, with the elements that you need. So, yeah, there were some you know, tough conversations. I wouldn't say tough conversations. I would say, you know, very focused conversations about, you know, figuring out what 2024 looks like as a team. And, you know, and we made some changes and you know, to show him and to give him, you know, the support that he needs to be successful, because Trackhouse as a two-car cup team is not successful if one team is good and the other team is not. We've always said from day one, Daniel's success is our success. So we have to give him the support. And, you know, it's not an emotional thing. It's a pragmatic thing. It's like tools and it's people and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, Travis Mack is a huge part of our company and a dear friend of mine, an amazing human being. And, you know, we just decided we needed a different type of crew chief for Daniel. And so it was very, very hard to make that change emotionally and personally, but it was one that we felt like was necessary to, you know, to give Daniel, you know, what he said he needed. I would say that, you know, we're very, very focused on being a very strong team that's successful across both cars. And, you know, he had a bit of a difficult year last year. So we re-racked the deck and we worked really, really hard during the off season to give him an opportunity to get back to where we believe and we know he can be. And that's in victory lane, which we did tonight.
And you talked earlier about building for the future. And I just wanted to get your perspective on this a little bit. You signed Zane end of last year for the deal. You signed Connor in January before the start of the season. Where you are at Trackhouse as a team owner, having the perspective, having driven, you know, all the different types of vehicles that you have, what have you been scouting? What did you see in Zane, in Connor, that you liked, that you wanted to bring as far as bringing them into Trackhouse?
Yeah, and SVG. I mean, we have what's important to Trackhouse is humility, hard work, selflessness, and passion and desire. And, you know, we have a lot of very, very talented people at Trackhouse in engineering, like I said, in administration, shop staff, pit crews, you know, all of that. And, you know, these guys all represent the Trackhouse way. And they're people that just go, I don't care about the noise. I want to be a race car driver. I want to win in racing, and I'm willing to do whatever it takes and work hard and sacrifice to do that. And that's the requirement to be on the driver roster at Trackhouse. And like I said, we've got big plans for growth in the future and big plans for everybody that we've got under contract. And it's pretty simple. It's that, you know, love this sport more than anything in the world. Leave no stone unturned and work hard and dedicate yourself to being the best that you can be, and you've got a place in our company.
All right, we're going to continue with questions. We're going to go to Steven, and then we'll wrap with Chris.
Steven Toronto, CBS Sports. Justin, you're the kind of person who appreciates moments and appreciates where they fit in the history of the sport. You were part of one of those 2 years ago at the Hail Melon at Martinsville, and that car is now sitting in your race shop as a display piece. You know, it may be a little early to suggest this, but is there any chance that you might try and preserve this car given its status as being the winner of one of the closest finishes in history?
I mean, I would say in the Gen 6 and previous, in the era of the sport before next gen, Yeah, we would do those types of things. But the thing is that, you know, we're in a new paradigm of the sport. We have a 7-car maximum for how many chassis that we can own. And I would love to be able to do that for the fans. I'd love to be able to do that as a showcase, you know, work with the Hall of Fame. But the fact of the matter is that, you know, we get 7 chassis per team. So we got 14 cars in our shop. And that car's pretty good, so I want to take it to Vegas. I don't think that we're going to do that. I mean, that the car after the Hail Melon was you know, pretty hurt, pretty bent, and you know, we wanted to preserve that and show it for the fans. But you know, when you in this era of the sport, you know, under the rules paradigm that we have right now, when you win a race with a car that was as good as the 99 was today, you know, I want to take that car to Vegas, and then I want to take it to Phoenix, and then I want to take it to Coda, and I want to go just win with it.
Gotcha. Just making sure. Thanks, Justin.
Yep, thanks.
All right, Chris, we'll wrap with you.
Chris Knight, Trends.com. Justin, two quick things.
Last interview tonight, and you know what? I think that you were the first interview I ever did in stock car racing at Kentucky and ARCA in 2005. Is that
right? That's right.
Okay.
That's a good thing,
I finished
right?
like 38th.
Yeah, that's okay, though. Okay. Look where you are today, right?
So, yeah.
I lost my train of thought for a second.
I know, I threw you off.
That's okay. Zane Smith, even under the Spire Motorsports camp, he's still a trackhouse driver. Had a good showing last week in the Daytona 500, was running strong here today.
Yeah.
Talking to him this weekend, he's very upbeat, very positive. Says he enjoys being business meetings with trackhouse meetings with Spire. Are you happy with the progression that you've seen from Zane during the offseason and his outlook on 2024?
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, it's so early in 24 right now, just, you know, and we've had two pretty unique races, but the, you know, We put Zane under contract, and then we really started to work with him and get to know him. He got in the sim. He got embedded in the shop with us, spent time with his crew chief, Stephen Doran, over at Spire. You know, he had a good race at Daytona, got a top 15 finish, and you know, he showed a lot of real speed tonight. He's got some good people around him. So we're very excited about Zane and his future. I mean, he's the full package. I mean, he's marketable, he's intelligent, he's a great race car driver, he's a bulldog in the race car, but he's a great brand ambassador outside of the race car. So he kind of checks all the boxes for us. You know, it's really early in the season. We're only two races in. You know, I tell him, you know, I was like, look, you're on a multi-year contract with us. You know, go run these races, get these experiences. He went to the outside to try to make it three wide tonight. I think he was one of the first guys to do it, to just shoot to the outside when guys were too wide and check that third lane out. Ross was the other one, of course. You know, I like that aggression, and I like that learning, and you know, he's got a lot of experience ahead of him. He's got another 34 races ahead of him in this season, and you know, I keep telling him there's not a lot of pressure on you right now. Just go run the laps, experience, you know, a cup car at all these different types of races. But we're very bullish on his future, and we're really proud to have him a part of Trackhouse. We're all big fans of Zane. We think he's got a lot of exciting things ahead of him.
Thanks. And then on the flip side, during the offseason, there was a lot of discussion with the Xfinity team owners and executives that they felt like in the Truck Series and Xfinity Series particularly, where they felt like that they had to embed the Trackhouse model, thinking outside the box and bring different things into their programs in order to entice sponsorships and just put their team on the radar. Does that give you, I don't know, a good vibe to know that other teams are seeing what you're doing in the Cup Series and feeling like that they need to adjust their organization for the current metrics in the sport to make their programs, you know, more you know, attractive?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a big opportunity in this sport. I have a certain belief about what's possible in this sport, and it's just the way that I do things. And you know, Ty Norris over there says there's no pride in authorship, and so it's like, you know, we don't feel like it's ours. I think it's an important role for us to experiment and to get creative and unique and try to do things that are different, because what we're doing is not something to try to make ourselves feel happy. It's something that we're doing because we feel like the sport has a huge opportunity. And, you know, we want to be the people that come in and try to do different things. It's something as just simple as a screen or just, you know, LED screen, like whatever it is. But we're constantly, I send Ty text messages like at 10 o'clock at night when I'm sitting there in my creative mode and he's probably asleep or he's having dinner with his wife or whatever. And I go, what about this? What about that? What about this? And that's kind of how we think. So, you know, I mean, this is a sport that needs big brands, and it needs teams that are motivated to be ambassadors of an entertainment property and to give the fans something to get excited about. And, you know, if we're leaders in that, then great. I mean, we're kind of sort of doing our thing, but this is an amazing sport. And more people need to see it. And so we feel like we're ambassadors of that. So I'm going to shut up because Daniel Suarez is in the room and he won the race. No one wants to hear from me anymore.
Congratulations, Justin. Thank you for spending time with us tonight. Thanks.